Exodus, the 19th chapter, page 94 in your Scofield Reference Bible, and beginning with the 18th verse, we'll read through the end of the chapter, Exodus 19, verses 18 through 25. The text verse is the 20th verse. Then may we stand, please, as is our custom to do. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and spoke unto them. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful church we have, and what glorious truth is revealed to us through thy word. We're so rich indeed in all the matters that pertain to our relationship to thee. Thank you for the freedom that we have together here. Thank you that these people have come tonight, and we pray for your blessing upon each and every one. Make our hearts tender toward receiving thy word. Make the preaching powerful, as we would ask thee to anoint with power our preacher. In Christ's name, amen.
The Israelites were in bondage. Unbelievable bondage. Maybe the most difficult and rigid bondage of any. Much, in many cases, much like the concentration camps of the middle part of this century. God raised up a deliverer. His name was Moses. Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he says to Pharaoh, I am here representing Jehovah God. And Pharaoh said, Who sent you? What's his name? Moses said, I am, has sent me. Not the I was, I'm gonna be, but the ever-present God hath sent me. Now he said, Pharaoh, the reason I'm here, I think it's time my people graduated from this institution. It's time we got discharged from this captivity. He said, Let me just make it plain. Let my people go. Let my people go. Pharaoh thought about it for a while, and he felt impressed to keep the people in bondage. I'm not sure all the Israelites had done. I wouldn't be surprised, but what if these very Israelites were not the laborers that built the pyramids? But anyway, Pharaoh said no. Well, God began to send plagues on the land. He sent lice, frogs, flies, and other plagues on the land. And Moses, every time, would come to Pharaoh and say, You're ready to say calf rope. This is in the Hebrew. You won't get this in the English. He said, Are you ready to call it quits? You ready to let the people go? Pharaoh said, no, no. And every time Pharaoh would say, no, are you listening? God would send another plague. Finally, Pharaoh said, okay, I'll let you have your religion. I'll let you have your sacrifices. I'll let you build your altars. But he said, sacrifice in the land of Egypt. Moses said, don't think you heard me. I said, let my people go. We want to get out of here. And Pharaoh said, I'm willing for you to be religious and to have your religion. But he said, I want you not to leave. Sacrifice in the land. Now, let me tell you what he was saying. He was saying, be saved, but don't leave Hollywood. He was saying, do like Pat Boone has done. Only God knows the influence for wrong that kind of Christianity has had in this land. It's taught our people that you can be a good Christian and yet wallow in the quagmire and the cesspool of Hollywood. Hollywood's rotten all the way up, all the way down, all the way to the right, and all the way to the left. But he's saying be saved and stay in the movies. Or be saved and stay in the soap operas. I was listening to the radio the other day. And on a Christian, if there is then such a thing, Christian station, they're interviewing a soap opera star. And she was talking about, are you listening, how much Jesus means to her. But if it means enough, sister, get out of that mess. It's no place for a child of God to be hanging around. I mean, either acting on them or watching them. It's of the devil. You know it is. Pharaoh said, go ahead and sacrifice and have religion, but do it in the land. He was saying, go ahead and be a Christian, a la Johnny Cash, but stay in the Grand Ole Opry. I was in Nashville the other day preaching, and I wanted to go see somebody in Nashville. We have a lot of business associates there. I have my books published in Nashville, and I have other publishers and good friends. So I got a cab, and I think maybe something broke. Anyway, I had to get a cab or something, and I did try to find folks that published my books. But anyway, I got a cab. And so I told the fellow where I wanted to go, and it was a pretty good drive, and it was going to cost about $15. And he said, boy, you made my day. And I said, why? He said, because it's Christmas time. And he said, we don't get much business at all. And he said, this is the longest trip anybody in our company has gotten all day today. And so we're driving, and I said, you drive a cab all the time? He said, no. He said, most of the year I play in a band for the Grand Ole Opry, orchestra or something like they call it. And so I said, are you saved? He said, yes, yes, I am. And I said, no. He said, I don't know I'm saved, but he said it was one time. I said, tell me something. Do those Grand Ole Opry folks go to church? You know, the ones that sing for the devil for 58 minutes, and now say, now for all you sick and shut-ins, we're going to have sweet hour of prayer. Just shut up. Just go ahead. If you're going to sing for the devil 58 minutes, go ahead and do it the other 2 minutes, too. I mean, just no need. If all you sick and shut-ins, all shut up and just go ahead and have a commercial or something. But don't take God's truth and make it wallow in the quagmire of the junk you've been singing. He said, I'm not going to come back here anymore. Well, that's why I'm letting you have it while you're here, honey. And now, the honest truth is, that's what the devil says. Devil says, sacrifice in the land. And yet, churches all across the country have these folks, because they're famous, Hollywood movie stars, people old Sam Jones used to say, if your Christianity, if your religion doesn't change your life, you ought to change your religion. See, Pharaoh was saying, Moses, go ahead and sacrifice, but do it in the land. Be saved and stay in the movies.
Be saved and stay in the soap operas. Be saved and stay in the Grand Ole Opry. Be saved and stay in the Icecapades. Did you know that one of these little half-nude females splitting around here, showing everything she's got just about in Icecapades, talking about what Jesus means to her? Well, I don't even mean enough to you, honey, to put some clothes on. Won't you read the scripture that says you ought to dress modest apparel? And stuff like this is not real funny. It's wicked. And this is the kind of Christianity, if it is, that's ruining this nation. Oh, for some old-fashioned leather-lung preachers got the courage to cry aloud and spare not again. Pharaoh said, go ahead, Moses, and tell the people they can have their religious exercises. And Norman Vincent Peale can speak all he wants to in the land. But stay in your liberal church. There are folks tonight in this room. Every Sunday night they're here. They go to some liberal church in the area over in Chicago or somewhere in the Chicago area. But they like it out here occasionally. It's cute. One lady said to me one time, she said, I wouldn't join your church, but she said, I'd like to your preach because it's cute. That didn't do much for me. But I mean, you stuck in the corners. I know you're here tonight. You see, you belong to some liberal church or some church that says they're fundamental and haven't got one shred of convictions or standards, and they look and sing and act and dress and like the heathen world, and heed the admonition of Pharaoh who said, sacrifice, but do it in the land. They said to me one time when I first came here, she said, I would join this church, but Uncle George is buried in the cemetery, in the back of the church where I belong. They don't preach anything anymore, but I don't want to leave Uncle George there in the back of the cemetery. I said, dig him up. We'll find a spot around here for him. But truth is, I know what church that was. Uncle George had more lives than anybody that went there. All I'm saying is, why don't we rediscover New Testament Christianity? Pharaoh said, Moses... Now, he said, you stay in Egypt, but sacrifice. Still belong to the National Council of the Church's denomination. Stay in the ministerial association. Keep on going to your heathen college. Be religious, but do it with the communist teachers. Be a Christian, but do it with a heathen. And let the Egyptians be your companions. Now, it's awful cute and awful nice to say, sounds nice to say, how are you going to win them if you don't go with them? Well, you might check God's method. He says house to house is a pretty good way. He says publicly and house to house, that'd be a pretty good way. And you're never going to invent a better way than God's way. I guarantee you that the churches in this nation who are getting the most people saved and baptized the most converts are in direct proportion with the churches that have the most convictions. Because the church that has no standards or convictions also has no reason to obey Christ in other commands either. Pharaoh said, oh, I see. He's scratching the lice in his head. Just thinking about it calls me... I'd love to have lice in my hair. I mean, lice don't bother me at all. They don't even mess around with something, what little I got. Termites, maybe, but not lice. You like that, didn't you? Now, Pharaoh said, okay now. He said, as he scratched his lice and swatted his flies and scratched his boils, he said, Okay, Moses, I got another suggestion. He said, you don't have to sacrifice in the land, but he said, sacrifice and leave, but don't go very far away. He said, keep in touch with the old crowd. He said, go to church on Sunday morning, but don't go back Sunday night or Wednesday night. After all, you don't want to be a Pharisee. I get a little tired of separated people being called Pharisees. I get a little tired of that. That's because you pussyfooters, if you were separated, you'd be a Pharisee. You chalk me up as being for the pure guy. You chalk me up as being for the separated fellow. He said, now, stay in Egypt. But he said, if that, and I've been scratching my head ever since I got these lines. I think somebody here is wanting to go home, saying, let my people go. That's what you were chatting this morning about 11:15. Let my people go. By the way, there'll be no service in the evening 2 weeks from tonight. I think you'll find it super. I didn't bowl you over, did I? You're listening, I see. He said, okay, he said, then stay, if you won't stay in Egypt, stay close to Egypt. You see, you can't reach a crowd if you're isolated. Put some religious words, he said, to your rock music. Go to a mod home Bible study and not to an old-fashioned church. Don't be an alcoholic, but the Bible says nothing about social drinking after all, he said. Give an offering, but don't tithe. Choose your movies, or better still, buy one of these machines where you can pipe hell into your living room. Bring it into your house. Shelter them and they won't know how to face the world. Hammond Times reporter said to me one time back when I took time for the foolishness. He said to me, he said, the way you preach, if those young people listen to you, they won't know what to do when they get out in the world. And I said, Buster, we don't plan for them to get out in the world. By all means, he says, witness just by your life. He says, Moses, I want you to sacrifice in the land, in Egypt. That didn't work. So he came and he said, okay, sacrifice. Go ahead and leave, but don't go very far away. Moses said, how would you like to have a few more flies? Pharaoh said, oh, I don't like it. Pharaoh said, but you can't go very far away. Moses said, has our test more boiled? So he said, okay, Moses, I got another thought. He said, if you... I hold some of you on Sunday night longer than the Egyptians were held in bondage anyway. But he said, okay, he said... if you won't sacrifice in the land. And then he said, if you won't just go a little bit away. As God said a while ago, I've always said, if Christ is worth anything, he's worth everything. We sang every Sunday morning, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence, daily live, except on Wednesday night when it's time to go to church. We sing, all to Jesus I surrender. Don't even tithe. Now, you'll forgive me for saying it, but this Bible does say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He doesn't say it, which is your fanatical service. He said it's the reasonable service. It's what's expected. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. So Pharaoh said, now Moses, I've got another suggestion to you. He said, if you won't sacrifice in the land, and he said, if you won't sacrifice by just not going very far away, then he said, I've got another suggestion. Why don't you take all the men out there and leave the children in the land?
can't expect the young folks to go soul winning, he said. Oh, yes, you can. My Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And it didn't say, have any age limit on how old you're supposed to be before you do those works. You can't expect, he said, young folks to sing the same songs that old folks do. There's nothing that irritates me anymore than for the young people have one set of songs and the old folks have another set of songs. You can't expect the young ladies to wear dresses, Moses, that the old ladies did, but not the young ladies. You can't expect the boys to get haircuts. I mean, take the men to the barber shop, but don't take the boys. Take the girl, ladies to the dress shop, but don't take the girl. This is a new generation, Moses. You don't expect them to live like they did in the 1950s, do you? Give them coffee shop Christianity. Let them have a little room in the church with psychedelic colors and get you a rock band and put a few religious words to it and let them play their rock music with a few religious words and let them have their long hair and let them look like a bunch of hippies and sing like a bunch of hippies and act like a bunch of hippies. But he said, now you older folks can go on, but keep the kids. Let me tell you, Moses said, not one hoof is going to stay. Not one hoof. All of America, I see this. All of America. I sit on platforms all over this nation. And I watch people come into services. Here comes in the services a fine-looking Christian lady. I mean, she is obviously a lovely Christian. And she has her Bible with her purse. And she has a modest dress on. And you can tell by her face that she knows God. And right beside her is her daughter. With nothing on but a blouse. They call them mini skirts. I call them few skirts. But there she is. Why? Because she has swallowed, the lady has swallowed the devil's philosophy that what's good for Mama is not necessarily good for Susie. But that's not Bible. And right behind them, I see Papa coming in. Now, Papa has a nice suit on. He has a tie. He has a nice tapered haircut. Right behind him comes a mop. A walking mop. His pants being hung up by his hip bones. Swaggering in. With his nose sticking through the mop. The devil sold that man a bill of goods. If daddy's supposed to get a haircut, Junior's supposed to get a haircut. If daddy's supposed to wear a tie to church, Junior ought to wear a tie to church. Now, if you don't have a tie on, you're welcome tonight. But after you've come for a while, there ought to be a certain kind of a propriety in a person's dress. Now, if you come tonight and aren't dressed properly and you don't know any better, I'm not criticizing you. God knows I'm not. But I just sort of think we ought to have we ought to look like we're going somewhere if we go to church. They used to call when I was a kid, Sunday go to meeting clothes. Sunday go to meeting clothes. Back in America, had some character. Back when Junior didn't have a vote, that's what he wore. When barbershop time came, he didn't have a vote, that's whether he got one or not. And back when Susie didn't have a vote concerning whether she wore a dress to church or not. I'm saying that, brother, listen, you say these are new days. No, they're not. They had them back under 3,500 years ago. I mean, they had to air tick and back scratch and penny pinch and nickel and salt soap and think to eliminate crab. They had to push the footers and compromisers 3,500 years ago. And the devil hadn't gotten any new numbers. He sings the same old stanzas. He's always sung. Well, Moses says not one hoof's going to stay. Mr. Pharaoh. Mr. Pharaoh said, okay, you can't go. Moses said to a fly, sick him. He said to a battalion of lice, go get him. Mr. Pharaoh said, okay, go ahead on. And that's what we ought to say to the devil. We ought to say to the devil, we're God's children. And what's wrong with being proud of being a child of God?
What's wrong with wearing the uniform with pride? I'll never forget when I became a Boy Scout and got my first uniform. Man alive, I thought I was General MacArthur. And I got the ROTC, the Reserve Officers Training Corps in high school. Our high school had an ROTC, and I became a first lieutenant in the ROTC. Man alive, I just knew that when the war, if any war ever started, they'd call me first. Run it. I was proud of that uniform. And I'm proud of the uniform I wear for Jesus. Then came that fateful night. God said to Moses, it's time to send the last plague. This is a home run of the bases loaded. Last half of the ninth inning. He said, Moses, he said, I won't talk to you. He said, Moses, he said, on certain night, 14th day, night, the day of the first month, equivalent to our April 14th. He said, I want to send that night an angel called the death angel through the land. And every household is going to have the oldest child killed with the death angel. Unless the family does this. Moses said, Lord, wait a minute. Are you about to give me the instructions of how firstborn in every family can escape death? That's right, Moses, I'm about to give you. I'm about to tell you what every household has got to do to keep the oldest child from dying. Moses said, hold it, Lord. Let me get a little piece of paper so I can take notes on this. I don't want to miss this one. Now, what is it it's supposed to do? God said, first thing, on the 10th day of the month, I wanted to choose a lamb. And write that down. Don't want to miss this. A lamb. Now, what else, God? He said, second thing, that lamb must be without blemish. Let me get that down, God. Without blemish. A perfect lamb. Okay. What else, Lord? It must be a male lamb, of course. A male lamb without blemish. That's right. Now, okay. Now, Lord, I've got to go tell the folks this, and I've got hundreds of thousands of children's and lives that are at stake. I've got to know. So, Lord, I'm taking notes now. A lamb, that's right. Without blemish, that's right. A male, that's right. Now, what else? The Lord's okay. I want them to put it up on the 14th of April, we'll say. Now, we think that's the month. On the 10th of April. Okay. A lamb without blemish, male, April 10th. That's right. Okay, I want you to keep it up for 4 days. Okay, let's keep it up for 4 days. And what's that for? That's to check and be sure that the lamb's okay. All right? Then on April 14th, I want that lamb killed. Write it down. April 14th, lamb killed. Okay? Now, what's supposed to do with the lamb when it's killed? Okay, Moses, I want you to take its blood, take a little hyssop weed. Lord, would any kind of weed do? No. Hyssop weed. You do like I said. Hyssop weed. Let me write that down then. Hyssop weed. And, okay, Lord, I got the lamb killed. I got hyssop weed. Now what? He said, I want you to take the blood of that lamb and put it in the basin. Okay? Put that blood in a basin. All right, I got it, Lord. A lamb, right? Without blemish, right? Male, right? April 10th, right? 4 days, right? April 14th, kill it, yes. Take hyssop weed, yes. Blood in the basin, yes. Okay, now what else? Okay, I want you to take that hyssop weed and stick it in the blood. Let's get that now. Hyssop weed in the blood. Okay, now Lord, what else? Okay, take that blood and sprinkle it on the lintels and the doorpost of every house. Okay, let's get that now. Sprinkle it on doorpost of house. And I want it to form a cross. Let's get the, okay, form a cross there. Some here, and here. Okay, we got that. Form a cross. All right. And now, Lord, let's get this straight. A lamb without blemish. A male. April 10th, choose it. 4 days, watch it. April 14th, kill it. Take hyssop weed. Put the blood in the basin. Put the hyssop weed in the blood. Sprinkle the blood with the hyssop weed on the doorpost and the lintels of the house and form me a cross. Is that it? And the Lord said, that's it. And Moses said, okay. So he called the people together. Now he said, folks, you better listen to this. Because this is life or death. Can you imagine for a few minutes how they felt that night? I mean, can you stop and imagine? I mean, here's Moses holding in his hand right there the lives of every oldest child in the land. Can you imagine? Almost as important as preaching the gospel. Moses said, now folks, you listen carefully to this. He said, this is what God's told me, but he said, as long, you don't have to do this, as long as you're sincere. Poppycock. Fella can be sincere and get a sparrow, that won't do. Fella can be sincere and choose a pig, that won't do. Fella can be sincere and kill a hippopotamus, that won't do. It's going to be a lamb. It's going to be a lamb without blemish. Are you listening? You're going to do it God's way. I'm not talking about the Pope's way. I'm not talking about the Catholic way. I'm not talking about the liberal way. I'm not talking about the Methodist way, Presbyterian way, Camelot way, Church of Christ way, Church of God way, Pentecost way, or the Baptist. I'm talking about God's way. God's way. Can you imagine Moses getting up in front of the people and said, folks, listen to me. Listen to me. I've got a message from God. Get your pencils out. Take some notes. You imagine Moses said, now if you don't do what God said and what I give you these instructions to do right now, if you don't do it, the oldest child in our family, Becky, will die. In your family, KK will die. If you don't do what I say, your oldest child's going to die. Boy, can you imagine how that the parents sat up on the edge of their seats? They didn't look at their clocks and say, I wish we'd get out in time to go watch the Bears. No, they didn't do that. This is important. Life or death. Nothing wrong with our churches couldn't be cured if we stopped and realized it's life and death. And so Moses said, okay, take a lamb without blemish. You got it. Let it down. Lamb without blemish. Male. Put it up on April 10th. Keep it 4 days. April 14th, kill it. Take hyssop weed. Put the blood in the basin. Put the hyssop weed in the blood. And sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. And let it form a cross. And you do that. And when the death angel passes over on the night of April 14th, he'll come by and he'll see the blood. And when he sees the blood, he'll pass over. He won't take your firstborn. Didn't say when he sees your name on a church roll, said when he sees the blood. Didn't say when he sees you're sincere, when he sees the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Preaching loud up here, dawned on me. I got a letter this week. The fellow said, get your tapes. He said, I got them for a long time. He said, I quit. And he said, I'm getting them again. He said, why don't you preach loud anymore? I thought he got the wrong tapes. Now, I'm sure there was somebody there who said, that's silly. That's silly. Just doesn't make sense to me. We don't have to have all that blood. I'm not going to go into it like I do sometime, but I'll tell you what, brother, he and his wife are brokenhearted the next morning. You get the blood applied and you don't live. And so, that morning, they woke up and they said, we're free. We're free! Saved with the blood of the crucified one. Free. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from the lamb's veins. We're free. Moses said, let's take off. Pharaoh said, we'd like to get rid of you. And Moses and his people start walking. We're on our way. Man, we're finally free out of Egypt. On our way. Wait a minute. You hear noise behind us. There's a noise behind us. Egyptians. I mean, we got out of the land, but they're still following us. Listen, folks. As long as you live,
You will never get rid of Egypt and the Egyptians. You may think that you are free of that besetting sin, but it's still chasing you.
Look around and bear in mind this. They're free of the Egyptian land, but Pharaoh said, go get them!
And the Egyptian armies began to pursue. Don't let your guard down, folks. Satan's not finished with you yet. Your old sins aren't gone yet. The battle's not over. You say, what should I do? Keep going forward. That's what they said. Moses, what should we do? He said, keep going forward.
Well, if the Egyptian armies right behind us, Moses, what should we do?
Keep going forward. Well, okay, but there's water ahead.
What should we do? Keep going forward. We may drown.
So the drown, then turn back.
So the die, then turn back. You give me a group of Christians who die, then turn back. Give me a group of college students who die, then turn back. They said, we're going to die. Moses said, I'm going to die.
And turn back toward Egypt. What you Egyptians are named? What's that sin that's chasing you? You thought you were free, but it's after you. Hey, we're gonna. Okay, we'll just go ahead and drown. I like that. You give me some Christians who will drown, they won't drown. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. They marched in that land. He said, how do you know it? We're out of Marston. They said, the Bible says, we're all flesh. They marched in. I feel dry. I'm supposed to be wet. My feet are dry. There's water up here. Like a wall over here on this side. That's a water wall. Man, we marching right through this sea on dry ground. Sure, God apart sees folks go forward. Now, I want you to notice something. When they got across the Red Sea and they got backslidden and wanted to come back, they couldn't come back. Because God never parts any Red Sea, folks going backwards. They go on the other side. Wow, we on the other side. Uh-oh. We've been followed. Turn around, there are those same Egyptians coming right down through that dry ground. And when they all got on that highway. And you know, amazing thing is, it was dry ground. It wasn't ground. See, God not only caused the waters to stand up at attention and salute as they came by, but God got it good and dry for them the same minute. I mean, if you parted waters, the place where you went through would still be wet. But it's dry ground. And then, on the other side of God, oh, good night, here they come. Just about time they all got in there. God had a big baptizing. And the Bible says in a verse I read a while ago that the Egyptians were dead. And they looked and saw them all dead. Yeah, boy. That's that. I'm through with Egypt. Oh, no, you're not. No. Some of you tonight are where Pharaoh told them to be. Some of you, you're saved, but you're still in the land. You're still living in the world. Others of you are saved, but you're living close to the world. Others of you are saved, but your children don't have to live outside the world. Others of you are saved and delivered, but your sins are still chasing you. But many of us, sins are all, Egyptians are dead. But now wait a minute. The Egyptian in you isn't dead. You recall when they got across that, one of the first things that happened, God said to Moses, I want to give you a Bible. And Moses went up on Mount Sinai and got the King James Version of the Bible. And he went up on a mountain and while he was up there, his assistant pastor took over. I see trouble coming. when Moses came back down, there's Brother Colston. And you know what Brother Johnny had done? Well, he'd been sleeping a great deal, but he also stumbled several times. But he had gotten the jewelry of the people made of gold and made a golden calf out of it. Now wait a minute, golden calf. Wonder where they got that idea. They're out of Egypt, and the Egyptian armies are dead. But brother, you can't hang around Egypt without having Egypt inside you. And that golden calf went back to the old worship of the sacred cow. And this day, you can go to Egypt, to Memphis, Egypt, to this day. And you can find the tombs of the sacred cows. Harry Carey's right. Holy cow. This is one of those nights, isn't it? I mean, they have the tombs where those cows are buried. Holy, sacred cows. You see, these Israelites were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them. You know why Lot chose the well-watered plains toward Sodom when he took his family away from the will of God and took off down toward the sex perverts? You know what? The Bible says that he had Egypt in him. He had been down to Egypt and had Egypt in him. And the Bible says that Sodom was a lot like Egypt, and so he chose that. He was out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of him. Moses got back. He also heard some singing. You know what it was? Rock music. Same thing. Rock music. And he saw some dancing. And he saw the folks unclothed. What was it? Egyptian religion, Egyptian music, Egyptian dancing, Egyptian nudity. Why? Pharaoh said, sacrifice in the land. That won't work. Some of you are there. He said, don't go very far. Some of you are there. Then he said, don't take the children. Some of you are there. Then he said, you're being followed by Egyptians. Let's go get them. Some of you are there. The sin has not been drowned yet. The Egyptians chasing you, and you haven't put it to death yet. But some of you that if you don't, Egypt's not there, but you got Egypt still in you. In fact, the truth is they got discouraged and they said, we want to go back to Egypt. We want the onions, cucumbers, watermelons, and leeks and garlic. Now that doesn't sound like a very good menu to me. Onions, leeks, watermelon, garlic, and cucumbers. Why? That's what they had in Egypt. Then they said, give us, are you listening? Give us fresh to eat. Why? That's what they had in Egypt. Battle is never over. Where are you tonight? Sacrificing in the land? We got some teenagers need to get right with God. Dozens and dozens and dozens of them. Need to get out of the world. Dress like children, Christian children, young people. Living in the world. Singing like the world. The devil's music, which is rock music. Anybody who's got any sense knows that's true. And every teenager in this house tonight knows that rock music is of the devil. You know it is. You know the words. That's good. I don't know them. I can understand that, John. But you know them. Toby Weaver knows them. He's got a song, I Go to the Rock. Then there are others of you. You're out of Egypt, but you're not very far out. You come out on a Sunday morning, maybe a Sunday night, but you wouldn't dare come out on a Wednesday night. I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that everybody in the church ought to be in church every Sunday morning. I'm old-fashioned enough to believe everybody ought to be back Sunday night. I'm old-fashioned enough to believe everybody ought to be back on Wednesday night. Not the children, please. We don't mind the adults saying amen, but when you're a little boy, you just sit and listen now. Battle is never over. Egyptians always after you. They can't get you to live with them. They'll come live with you. They can't get you to live in their land. They'll say, don't go very far away. We'll influence you. They can't get you to do that. They'll say, okay, let us have your children. We'll influence them. That doesn't work. When you leave the land, they'll follow you. And try to still overtake you. That doesn't work. If they're dead, drowned, they'll get in you. And Egypt will be in you. Battle's never over for any of us. That's why the Apostle Paul could say when he came to the last little bit of the journey, I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course. I made it. He said one time earlier, he said, God forbid that I should be a castaway. And he comes to the end of the trail. I think, personally, I think that every child of God who wants to make it through life in the will of God, on the battlefield for God, I think every child of God, when it comes to the time of death, I think there is maybe a tad of a fear of death, but I also think there's a great deal of joy. In some ways, he's glad death came. And Paul said, I made it. I made it. The devil's after you. The devil's after you. I said, the devil's after you. And to some of you tonight, you listened to him when he said, sacrifice in the land. What did you do about the company Christmas party this year? He says, sacrifice in the land. Others of you have not sacrificed in the land, but you've just gone a little bit away. You don't look like the hippies, but you don't look like the Christians either. You sort of halfway in between. Others of you, the devil couldn't get you to do that, so what he's done is he's got you believing that younger generation not supposed to live like the older generation. I go to great churches to preach. I used to go to church in Canada. At one time, probably the largest church in the nation. At one time, the pastor of that church was the most famous pastor in Canada. I won't call his name. I doubt if many of you would know it. I used to go to that church to preach several times a year back in the heyday of the church. But I noticed when I'd go to that church, almost everybody had gray hair. You know why? Because and by the way, good, solid, fundamental people. But they hadn't preached to the kids. They hadn't preached to the young people. Oh, by the way, I said to the pastor one day, if you don't get these young people straight and get some young folks back in this church, your church is going to die one of these days. Last week, I was talking to a fella, and he told me about a certain church in Canada, and he said they'd closed their doors and sold out, and it was that very church. Why? All the graybeards died off. They had not transferred their Christianity to the younger generation. Some of you there. Others have left Egypt, but you have forgot to look back because the devil's the old sin's after you. And then there are others who wouldn't think about committing the old sin anymore, but I mean the Egypt is inside you. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. Promised land's ahead. And you'll be glad when you look at Jesus in the face and see him as he is. You'll be glad. You were a fanatic. You'll be glad. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow would erase. So I'll bravely run the race till we see Christ. You'll be glad.